Hawker Beechcraft wins early Chapter 11 approvals. It's now T-minus 11 days and counting for SpaceX. And Boeing expects to ramp up production but slim down its workforce. This is Aero News for Tuesday, May 8, 2012. I'm Glenn Moyer. The U.S. Bankruptcy Court for the Southern District of New York has granted approval of the first-day motions filed by Hawker Beechcraft as part of the company's voluntary filing for reorganization under Chapter 11 of the U.S. Bankruptcy Code. Approval of these motions will enable Hawker Beechcraft to continue to operate in the ordinary course of business during the reorganization process. Hawker Beechcraft received approval to continue to pay its employees and to pay all vendors and suppliers in the ordinary course of business for goods and services delivered after the commencement of the Chapter 11 case. The company will utilize a commitment for $400 million of debtor-in-possession financing negotiated as part of the prearranged restructuring to meet these obligations. On May 3rd, Hawker Beechcraft and a significant number of its senior secured lenders and senior bondholders agreed to the terms of a financial restructuring plan that will eliminate approximately $2.5 billion of debt and approximately $125 million of annual cash interest expense while strengthening the company for the future. The countdown is back on for SpaceX's demonstration launch of the Falcon 9 rocket and Dragon spacecraft. SpaceX has announced that it is pushing back its COTS 2-3 demonstration launch back to May 19th, while its own and NASA scientists finish evaluating computer codes which control the launch. The launch was to have occurred this past Monday, but a computer glitch during a test fire of the Falcon 9 booster caused the company to postpone it. The mission profile calls for the SpaceX Dragon spacecraft to make a close approach to the International Space Station, and if that goes well, it will be grappled by the station and brought in to dock. The Dragon will be carrying a load of non-essential supplies for the space station crew. Maybe a supply of Tang, who knows. So far, officials say they've found no known issues with the suspect computer code, but that this delay was reasonable given the complicated nature of the mission. Boeing says it expects to beef up airliner production in the coming year, but its overall workforce could be asked to slim down. Driving the increased production is a demand for new aircraft as airlines move to replace their aging fleets, and airline passenger growth continues, expected to increase by another 5% this year. However, the Puget Sound Business Journal reports that Boeing's workforce is expected to peak at about 83,000, after which the pace of hiring will begin to slow. The slowdown is attributed to the 787s moving out of the developmental stage and more directly into production. There, improved production efficiency will mean Boeing will not need to replace retiring workers on a 1-to-1 ratio. Piper Aircraft's European sales are proving stronger than anticipated, thanks to what Piper officials say is a market trend toward more fuel-efficient aircraft. Early in 2012, Piper delivered three new Piper Meridian turboprops into France and a Piper Mirage pressurized single into Switzerland. Additionally, the company has five more M-class single-engine aircraft set for delivery to retail customers in Europe this year. Piper dealers report that pilots are keeping their cabin and class preferences intact, but opting for more fuel-efficient singles, like the Piper Meridian and Piper Mirage, as a hedge against rising aviation fuel cost. Piper also credits the recently concluded Aero Friedrichshafen Aviation Trade Show for generating considerably more leads and aircraft demonstrations than in past years. Two F-22 Raptor pilots who have refused to fly the aircraft, and in doing so have placed their careers on the line, have spoken publicly for the first time. The pair were the subject of an investigative report on the CBS News magazine show 60 Minutes. In the interview with Leslie Stahl, both pilots, Major Jeremy Gordon and Captain Josh Wilson, stopped short of calling the aircraft unsafe, but said they felt uncomfortable flying it. Wilson said it's not uncommon for F-22 pilots to take out additional life insurance policies, saying they are, quote, waiting for something to happen, end quote, and that no one will be surprised when it does. The two airmen received protection as whistleblowers from Congressman Adam Kinzinger, Republican of Illinois, who also appeared on the program. General Mike Hostage, commander of the Air Combat Command, acknowledged in other comments, not on the program, that there is a risk in flying the aircraft, but he felt the risk was, quote, not as low as we would like it, but low enough to safely operate the airplane, end quote. Hostage also said that he understands the concerns about the aircraft and that he will begin flying the F-22 himself, saying, quote, "I don't feel like it's right to ask them to do it if I'm not willing to do it myself," end quote. The Air Force has taken steps to mitigate the risk to pilots, but no cause for the dozens of reported cases and symptoms of hypoxia has yet been found. When Aero News continues, stuck on an airplane, stranded in a terminal, who are you going to call? DFW has a new Airbus A380, but it's never going to fly. And a group of geeky rocket scientists go one up on Orange County choppers.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We continue now with Aero News for Tuesday, May 8th. I'm Glenn Moyer. Now, you have to realize this next story would be a lot more effective if you could imagine the theme song from Ghostbusters in the back of your mind. Remember the little ditty, "Who You Gonna Call?" FlyersRights.org has expanded its hotline for stranded passengers from domestic service to international service. In addition to its hotline, the organization's recently updated iPhone app is being called the number one application for air travelers who get stuck in any type of air travel delay scenario and who need to know their rights to compensation and other help from the airlines. The organization says it has received thousands of calls per year in the continental U.S. and is now thrilled to open up its volunteer-staffed hotline to international service, including Alaska and Hawaii. Flyers Rights founder Kate Haney says the hotline has fielded over 30,000 complaints in the last 5.5 years of operation. Of their iPhone app, she says, quote, "It's the most valuable 99 cents you will ever spend, and even includes a tarmac timer that plays the theme from Jeopardy after 3 hours, notifying the flight crew that time is up and they need to let you deplane," end quote. A new Airbus 380 was unveiled at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport this past Thursday, though this particular aircraft will never take flight. The airport has installed a mock-up of the A380, the world's largest passenger jet, at its Fire Training Research Center, where it will help DFW train its own aircraft rescue firefighting teams and others from around the world. The DFW Fire Training Research Center, one of the world's top facilities of its kind, is in the midst of a $29.2 million renovation program due to be completed by the end of this year. The on-the-ground training provided at the DFW Fire Training Research Center prepares local, regional, and nationwide emergency response personnel and has also trained airport workers from as far away as Latin America and Europe. Over 15,000 firefighters from 29 states and 24 countries have trained at the DFW Center since it first opened in 1995. Well, Gamma is hailing the bipartisan agreement between Majority Leader Eric Cantor and Minority Whip Steny Hoyer to end an impasse over the reauthorization of the Export-Import Bank. The agreement extends the bank's charter for 3 years and increases its lending authority to $140 billion. The General Aviation Manufacturers Association has supported the bank's reauthorization because this lending is vital to the industry's ability to grow and maintain exports as general aviation manufacturing recovers from the economic downturn. Additionally, the exports generated are key for job creation and for the Obama administration's efforts to double exports by the end of 2014. The dysfunctional antics of the Tuttle family have entertained millions on TV as they bicker and build some of the most unique motorcycles in the world. But could it be that a bunch of geeky rocket scientists have put one over on the Tuttles? X-Corp, one of several commercial companies in the race to build the first successful commercial spacecraft, recently concluded a test of some critical parts of its propulsion system by riding a motorcycle from Roswell, New Mexico, where else, to Mojave, California. The test concerned how to put many hours of wear time on the critical bearings of X-Corp's rocket propellant piston pump. The answer was found on the streets. Dan DeLong, X-Corp's chief engineer, says, quote, this particular motorcycle, the Triumph Street Triple, develops about the same horsepower and has the same cylinder arrangement as the liquid oxygen and kerosene fuel pumps for the Lynx suborbital spacecraft. That makes it ideal for a long-life pump test platform. The bike is much less expensive to operate than the full-up rocket pump test stand. We're adding hours of runtime each ride, not just minutes, end quote. Well, the road trip test reportedly saved about $500,000 over the traditional methods. The tests were confined as much as possible to the old Route 66, and the scientists managed to even fit in some sightseeing at places like the Very Large Array and Meteor Crater. The Tuttles may have built a space shuttle bike, but X-Corps is using a bike to build the next space shuttle and beyond. Now that's the stuff of reality TV. So, like those born-to-be-wild scientists at X-Corps, it's time for us to head out on the highway looking for adventure. Thanks for listening. I'm Glenn Moyer. You're now cleared for departure.